Blog Talk Radio.
Triathlete,
And if you're having a problem breaking through to that next level that you really want to get through in sports, she can help you out. Give her a call at area code 813-689-2466, or you can visit her at her office at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, Z, it's good to have you on here tonight. I know you're a little under the weather, so we want to tell everybody that you are a true sportsman and a true trooper here to stay in as bad as you feel.
Yeah. Thank you very much. But just hard for me to miss this. I'm going to be honest.
Will Ty be joining us tonight, do you think?
I'm not sure. He has a filming obligation that he's taking care of at the moment. And I'm not sure if he's going to get off in time to join us.
Okay. So we had a couple funny things happen this week. We were to have our good friend Edner Cherrybaum Cherry on, but he and his wife went to a marriage encounter today, and I just talked to him a few seconds ago, and he was just coming out of Jacksonville, so he's not going to be on with us tonight, but he will be on with us next week. Our good friend Aaron Jaco did fight last week and did do a tremendous job. Took the guy out in the 103 of the second round, and did a fantastic job. And another good friend of ours is returning to the ring after a absence. Andre Berto, I know you're well aware of Andre. Lives over here in Winter Haven, not too far from Edner, and in fact they trained together with Dan Birmingham over in St. Petersburg and ride together quite a bit. So it'll be good to see Andrew Berto back into Andre Berto back into the ring after 12 months being off. He had some surgery to repair a significant tendon tear in his right shoulder after his last fight. But as of today, they say he will be in good shape. September 6th, he's going to be fighting in Atlantic City. So that's when we're going to keep an eye on and see if we can't get you guys in there.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful to see Andre Berto get back in the ring again. He received that shoulder tear in his fight against Soto Carras, which was an exciting fight. All of Andre Berto's fights are actually exciting.
Yeah.
So it should be wonderful. He's a tough guy, very tough guy.
He's a tough guy, and he's like 99% of the guys that we've talked to on here, he is a family man. And if you remember, he actually stepped away from a couple fights about two or three years ago while his wife was battling cancer. And he made sure that everything was taken care of at home. So, you know, I have an awful lot of respect for Andre. Pretty much like Edner. Edner had, you know, his wife had open-heart surgery. And he had to he stepped away for a little bit and wanted to help her recover. And then on top of that, his youngest daughter was born with a hole in her heart, so she had to have open heart surgery. So the poor guy has been through a tremendous amount of problems in his personal life, but I don't know how he does it. You talk to Edner, the world could be coming to an end, and the first thing he says, oh, how are you? How are you feeling? How's this? And he's got a memory. I mean, he'll ask about things that we had done or people we had seen over the last year or two or years ago. And he'll say, well, is Aaron Jaco, he said, well, is Aaron still on his own, or is he and his brother back together again? And, just a tremendous person. Hey, did you happen to see the New York State Athletic Commission is arranging affordable health care insurance now for the boxing community? Did you happen to see that?
No, I did not, but that is that's wonderful, and that's a positive step forward.
Absolutely.
It's about time. Yeah, it's about time that somebody put up some benefits for these fighters. I mean, we don't have a national commission to regulate anything,
right?
As far as that goes, so I'm glad that one of the state commissions stepped up. Maybe the other state commissions will follow suit.
Hopefully. You know, New York did it. You would think that with all the major fights coming out of Vegas, that Nevada would have been the first, but I guess not.
Yeah, well, Nevada is known, and I'm not going to, you know, testify by this, but, you know, it's been known to be widely corrupt. So
yeah,
I wouldn't expect any changes coming out of Nevada anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny Garcia is going tonight up there in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center.
Yeah, absolutely. He fights Rod Salka.
Right.
And I haven't heard too much about Rod Salka. I heard he's a tough guy. And Danny Garcia, his last fight against Herrera, and Mauricio Herrera, Danny, to be honest, he looked a little. I'm not sure how long he was out the ring before. He looked rusty to me.
Yeah.
A little bit like his timing was off and everything. And he got a decision that some may consider a gift. I thought it was more or less a draw, the fight. But, I mean, some say think Herrera won, and they're asking Danny to step up. And one thing people don't realize, Danny has had tough back-to-back-to-back fights before he fought Herrera. And Herrera is a guy who beat Ruslan Provodnikov. So, I mean, that wasn't exactly a step down for Danny fighting Herrera.
No.
And now he's fighting, so he's fighting Salka tonight. We're going to see. We're going to see. People didn't really hear about Herrera, I mean, outside of the boxing community. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, tonight, I haven't heard of Salka that much, so. We're going to see where Danny is.
Yeah. Also on that card is a good friend of ours and good friend of the show's Lamont Peterson. He's fighting Edner Santana. It's supposed to be a close matchup, but so far the money's on Lamont to pick him up. And then the other. I guess you say undercard is Danny Jacobs against Gerard Fletcher. That's a big thing up there in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. They're just getting back into the fight game, and I guess they're getting some decent. Being from Philly, Danny should have a pretty good following up there. Especially being Puerto Rican. So it should be a good crowd.
Yeah. And Danny, his last fight was in Puerto Rico, and he was a tremendous crowd favorite. Right now, Danny, he's a basically lineal 140-pound champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he should have a pretty good following.
So what do you think Sam Suleiman is taking on Jermaine Taylor for his first try at somebody to take his belt away? How do you think that's going to go?
Well, I'm not sure. With Jermaine Taylor, I'm not sure. He was on top for a while, and he was doing good, but there were some technical flaws that I think cost Jermaine ultimately. And his technical flaws, I think, led to maybe him not adapting in the ring at certain fights. And he got hurt in those fights. He got physically hurt in those fights. And he took some time off, and he's coming back. And you're not hearing a whole lot of buzz about him coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to see how he handles things in this next fight and if he can step up, you know, and pick on somebody maybe of some recognition once again.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jermaine, these fights are usually just gauging where Jermaine's at.
Sure.
Tremendous physical talent.
We can get a hold of our boxing historian here, and we'll just keep it right on the line here. We'll just let's take him out of there. Well, Z, we're joined by the inimitable and always informative Dr. Chris Fenarella.
Hey, Dr. Chris, how's it going?
How are you guys? How you doing?
What's going on? My grandkids drug me out today for 18 holes.
That's great. That's not bad.
Yeah,
I played nine today. I'm just getting over a leg injury.
Yeah, you were saying. You feeling all right?
Yeah, my leg is swelled up like a balloon. They took me off the blood thinner. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Every time I stretched a muscle, my arm would swell, my leg would swell. I'm talking about doubling up in size. So they took me off the Coumadin. So
good.
I can resume my ring career now.
There you go.
I can be bruised now. So,
Chris, we're just talking about Sam Suleiman versus Jermaine Taylor in September. What do you think of that one?
Ooh. What's Jermaine Taylor got left? I haven't seen him fight for a while.
Yeah. That's
why
exactly
is he coming back?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think
what
this
weight
fight
class?
Coming,
what's he going to fight? It's 68?
Yeah.
Super middleweight.
He's fighting for the IBF middleweight championship.
Wow. I don't know. If I were him, I would, maybe he's out of money. Who knows? Maybe he didn't handle the money right.
That's
a formidable.
I thought he was done.
Yeah. Wow.
They were talking earlier about Andre Berto coming back after a major surgery for a torn tendon in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Back in.
Boy, that was a great fight on Friday Night Fights. It came from Pittsburgh. You guys see it last night?
Yeah, I saw it last night. Are you talking about the headliner or the fight before?
No, I'm talking about the left-handed guy against the, what was that other guy's name? It was like a TKO in a ninth. What a fight. I saw them both.
That was the fight.
Wasn't that a good
fight? I know one of the guys was an Olympic, U.S. Olympian, and the other guy was from Hungary or something. He had a whole bunch of knockouts and was 18 years old. Might have been that fight.
Well, the fight I like was a left-hander against the. Now they didn't give much history on the other guy. They didn't give a lot of history on him, but boy, he could take a punch, and he stayed in there. And he made several comebacks. You didn't know who was going to knock who out. One of them fights, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Great fight. I'm trying to think of the name of that guy, but he's left-handed. He looked like he was a foreigner. He looked like he came from overseas. He didn't, super fight. What do you think of Keith Furman last week?
He's an intense guy.
Very intense.
You know he is. He wants to fight.
He'll fight anybody.
Yeah, anytime. I said, slow down, man. Enjoy that with the position you're in. I bet you his manager wants to strangle him. His manager wants to hang around, make a few bucks with some good fights here and there. I don't think anybody in that welterweight division can beat him, to tell you the truth. He's got the best body punch in the welterweight division.
Right.
Yeah, that left hook he throws at the body is devastating, and he'll throw it, too. If I had a fighter and he was that good and got to where he is, I'd have to guide him a little bit slower. I wouldn't let him run in and want to unify everything. Take it easy, guys. You're young. Christ. That's what I told him. I said, Sugar Ray Robinson had 69 fights before he lost one. He was well away. He waited about 60 fights before he got a title shot.
Sure.
He didn't get a title shot till his 60th fight. Marty Serbo was the champion, and Graziano fought him and smashed his nose, and he had to retire from the ring. And then Sugar Ray won in elimination, but he was like 60 fights. And then he fought for as a welterweight for a while, and then he moved up. He moved up to the middleweight division when he was 30-some years old.
Mm-hmm.
But he fought all through his 20s. You know, I'm just trying to give him a comparison, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he must be an intense guy. He must,
oh, yes.
You know.
Yes, even when you were, you know, I went over to the gym to talk to Ian Dan, Birmingham. And you can see even when you're sitting there talking to him, you know, how he's just, he's very focused.
He wound up.
But he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's high on life, nothing else. But he's, well, I'll tell you what, I watched him in the ring. Man, I wouldn't want to be in there with him.
No, he punches hard. How about that left hook to the body? I didn't want to be honest with you. If Mayweather pulled that crap along the ropes of leaning back with his right hand up around his ear, trying to counterpunch you, he's got a 6-inch, 8-inch opening around the liver. If Keith
right.
Furman ever sunk a left hook in his liver, he'd kill him.
Yeah.
I think he could beat Mayweather, to be honest with you. He said Mayweather would give him trouble. I think
yeah.
if he got Mayweather on ropes and he leaned back like that, that'd be the end of it.
Sure.
But he'll go to the body. Now, I watched all those other guys all went headhunting on Mayweather. And,
yeah, yeah.
And he's leaning back and his whole body's open. I couldn't believe anybody sunk the left hook in there. You know? But anyway, he's got a great future ahead of him.
I think
what you said was correct, that fighting Malignaggi, that guy looked better than he was. Because Malignaggi
sure.
couldn't hurt him. He just walked right through him.
Sure.
And then Keith Furman thought that he'd like to fight that guy because he's been in the gym with him and sparred with him. He thinks
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't be a difficult opponent, you know.
Yeah.
Now, well, we'll see. We'll see. There's going to be a lot of great fights coming up.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, we got one tonight with Danny Garcia getting in there. Philadelphia's own Danny Garcia is fighting. We talked about that a little while ago.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting
a guy named Rod Salka.
Yeah, no, but
I haven't heard
one
much about.
Now, is the guy a welterweight? Is he moving up to the welterweight, or is he fighting at 140?
No, he's fighting at 140.
Yeah. I watched the fight again last night between him and Matisse. They ran
right.
it again last night. That was quite a fight. That was
yeah.
quite a fight. I think in my mind, I think that Danny Garcia peaked during that fight. That was the best he ever fought. I mean, handling Matisse the way he did. Of course, Matisse had a closed eye, but, you know, Garcia put it there. You know what I mean? He,
right.
That was a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
So, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
When is the scheduled fight between Wilder and, what's the girl's fighter? What's his name? When's that fight?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, yeah. The styles are telling there. With Deontay, he's long and he hits hard. He has a tendency not to use his length all the time. With
mm-hmm.
Stavron tends to be patient and wait for his opening. And mm-hmm. I don't. It's hard to get to the opening with Wilder because it's so darn big.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but it's
you never know.
They both hit hard. They both hit hard. So I figure whoever gets there first more effective is going to win.
Yeah. First lucky punch.
And what do you guys
you
think
know?
About Canelo Alvarez coming back in December with James Kirkland?
That would be a tremendous fight. That would be a tremendous fight.
Yeah,
who's
going to
fight? Who's going to fight Kirkland?
Canelo Alvarez.
He actually going to fight Kirkland? What's he, nuts?
Yeah, yeah. He's the undercard of the Miguel Cotto fight. December 13th.
Oh, man, you know what? I would never take that match if I was his manager.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Kirkland can be a killer, and you don't know who's going to show up. If the real Kirkland shows up, he's in for a hell of a night, you know?
There's one thing about that, and I said it last week. You can't run up on everyone. And Kirkland, he's an animal, he's tenacious with his attack. He's extremely tenacious. And his hands aren't slow. Hits pretty hard. But the only thing is, Kirkland, I mean, he tends to be open a lot, and he tends to put everything into his offense. And with Canelo, I don't think he could do that because he places his punches well enough to where Kirkland is either going to have to respect him or he's going to go to sleep.
Right.
That's going to be a hell of a fight. Does he still got that woman training him now? Does he come back to a sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
She's crazy, that woman. Man, that woman, nasty. She worked the hell out of him. When he left her, he was another fighter. He got knocked out like nothing, but when he's with her, he's devastating. I don't like that fight. If I was Canelo, I would never take that fight. There's easier people out there to fight than him.
Sure.
And he can make a lot of money doing it. You know, he's young.
Uh-huh.
Kirkland's big chance. It's Kirkland's big chance. You know,
yeah.
Will be a hell of a fight. I don't know
sure.
who I wouldn't pick. I wouldn't be able to pick that fight. I just want to watch that one.
Yeah, I think that would be a very tough fight to handicap. The books have on that one.
I know one thing: the harder puncher is Kirkland.
Right.
He's a harder puncher, so he gets hit early. He gets hit early, but I don't think Canelo has the power to take him out early. I think he could sting him, maybe bang him around a little bit, but I think he could take Canelo's punch. It's going to be interesting. I know one thing. Kirkland's going to have to go all out. It's his big chance. He's going to have to pressure him and really work and, you know, try to win. He's hungry.
One place I could definitely see Canelo having trouble is if he can't take Kirkland out early or if he can't make Kirkland respect him early. Kirkland has that gas tank to do that for a long time, to do what he does for a long time, to where Canelo, there are questions about his gas tank. I don't think he could stand what Kirkland's doing all the time with his gas tank unless he can make
Kirkland
respect.
Kirkland's going to come in. He's going to come in the bigger man. Kirkland has been a junior middle for a long time. I mean, he's a big guy.
Sure.
I mean, he's got a hell of a body on him. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting fight. And it's on the undercard of what fight, Frank?
The Miguel Cotto fight on the 13th of December.
Oh, December.
Yeah.
Way down the road. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that Golovkin is going to try to consolidate the middleweight division?
Or do you think he's going to move up? That would make a lot of sense.
It depends where the money is, I think. I think if he could get a fight with Cotto anytime soon, he would do that. But I've heard rumblings about them and Andre Ward. Or they were talking about Chavez Jr., but he signed the fight Carl Froch. So, Golovkin he's kind of in the driver's seat at the moment.
I think Golovkin would knock Cotto out early.
Yes.
I don't see Cotto at his size. I don't see him giving Golovkin a fight.
I can see Cotto being slick enough to not get crushed immediately. But generally, I just don't see him. That's him Margarito 1 all over again. Probably not even that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris, we have a listener on here, Smokey the Bear's little brother, Ronnie the Doc, seems to be here.
What? Does he have anything useful to say? Are we going to let him on or what? Is he going to come on with some medical knowledge or what's he going to come on with? Take away his computer. He comes up with old history. They take his computer away from him. He's got one of those boards, and he comes up with something from 200 years ago. You know, I haven't talked to him for a while. I thought he was going to Italy. I thought he was in Italy.
Yeah, he did go to Italy, and now he's back.
He did go, and he's back, huh?
Yeah.
That's terrific. This is a terrific show about boxing, talking about my trip to Italy, but that's all right. Things are really getting bad when that's all you have to talk about when you don't have a heavyweight division.
That's the only thing to talk about.
You know, in boxing,
know you're
all the rest
come
of these
some
guys,
words of wisdom.
You know, boxing doesn't exist without heavyweight. When the heavyweights went down, boxing went out with it. That's the only ones you want to watch. You don't want to watch these Willie Pep guys. You want to watch real fighters. I hear you talking all week long. Man, there's only one division. That's the heavyweights.
Hey Frank, see what happens when you come from Collindale? You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right. Sipping all those Darby fumes.
Chris has eaten enough. He's getting up to that heavyweight division, man. He's probably there now.
Hey, I got diverticulitis. Went all the way down to 197.
There you go.
They put me on a liquid diet. I weighed 197.
Yeah, it's
you
all right.
Don't know
back.
Me. The only way you'd know me, Ron, is by my voice. You probably wouldn't know who I was when you.
Yeah, I know. Now you're going to tell me size doesn't matter, right?
When I go to the spa now, the old ladies giggle. They giggle. I'm the pin-up man at the spa for the old women.
Yeah, you lost it all, huh?
At 198. Ah, Christ. How you been, Ron?
I've been good. I've been great. You know, great. I figured let me at least say hello to you on the air because I never hear from you. My phone. I thought you were in Italy.
I thought you were over there trying to, you know, borrow money or something. I don't know what the hell you're doing over there. See if you borrow money from your uncle or something. Who the hell knows? So, by the way, before I go, how's your mom?
Hanging in. Not really. No, what do you mean that's good? She's not doing good.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's hanging in there anyway. I'll call you and talk to you about it. Because,
all right.
Obviously, you don't have your computer in front of you coming up with Jim Corbett stories.
I'm just waiting for you to come up with something to equal Foreman, Ali, and Frazier in the good old days. You know, I don't hear any good stories anymore. I mean, really thrilling matches. I don't hear any of that stuff.
Well, we're talking about current. See, they're the old people. These young guys now coming up, they're some damn good fighters. We have to talk about them. Yeah, nobody knows. They forgot about George Foreman. Who the hell is he? They know he makes hamburgers, they think. They think he sells hamburgers.
Yeah.
They don't know anything. You know?
Hey Chris, who was that heavyweight from? Who was that heavyweight from Booth Wynn? Italian kid. Did anything ever happen with him?
John Poor. You talking about John Poor?
No, him and there was another kid, Italian kid.
Marty Capasso?
Yeah.
Marty got as far as fighting John Tate, and John Tate knocked him out.
Oh.
And that said he quit.
Okay.
He's working in a prison. He's working a phys ed program for one of the prisons. He's a phys ed director at last time I saw him. Quite a comical guy. You really got to like Marty when you get to know him. He is a riot. But that's what happened. He hung around. He gave up. Lou Duva gave up on him. He left Lou Duva early in his career, and if you remember, Larry Holmes was champion, and Duva had two fighters, Scott Frank and Marty, and he favored, when Marty dropped out of the picture, he got Scott Frank a title shot with Holmes, and Marty hung around fighting 10-rounders in Scranton and all, and finally he took a bout with John Tate, who was a lot bigger than him, and he knocked him out in about the seventh or eighth round. TKO.
Okay.
So that's what happened to Marty. But he's still around. He's still a funny guy.
Oh, that's good.
I get a kick out of him when I see him. The Aston Assassin.
Yep.
That's
I remember him. I forgot his name, but I remember. You know, he looked good for a while.
Yeah. Well, he was a great amateur. He was a great amateur. Every time he had title shots, he had a title shot against for the Olympic spot against Clark, Jimmy Clark. I think it was Jimmy Clark. That was his name. And he lost the decision by maybe 1 point, but it was close. And then Marty almost fought in the Olympics. But, you know, he had a nice career for a kid come from where he did. You know, he played football with Cheney, and this all happened after he stopped playing football.
Chris, how old was Foreman when he regained the title?
In his 40s.
In 1994.
When he knocked out the left-hander, Moore, Michael Moore, he was 43, I think.
Yeah, 44. You're right on. You're incredible.
43, I don't know, around that time. I
saw
that
computer
play.
On again, Chris.
Yeah, take it away from him. He don't know. He's got to go back to medicine.
I just read a book called Bouts of Mania by Richard Hoffer. It's all about the heavyweights. That's why I'm hot on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Bouts of Mania. Yeah, it's a good book. Look, guys, I got to go. You know, I have a show on Thursdays from 1 to 2 called Rejuvenation Health Radio. This week, the title of the show is Size Does Matter, and we'll explain that on the show. So, Chris, good talking to you. Hey, Frank, thanks for letting me get in here, but size does matter, and we'll talk about that Thursday.
I'll go along with that.
I know Chris used to, but, you know, he's down to 122 pounds now, so I don't have to worry about him.
I'll go along with that.
All right, guys, I'll catch you later.
All right, Ron, take it easy.
While you're on here, why don't you, since we have our sponsor is a physician, why don't you give Dr. Ron a plug here while you're on?
Dr. Ron Jr. He's a chiropractor and a board-certified neurologist. Doing a non-aesthetic plastic surgery, non-surgical, losing a lot of jelly in your belly, making you thin. He has a great line of cosmetics for the fine lines around your eye. So, Dr. Ron, at 1575 Pine Ridge Road, Suite Number 6, 239-331-5886. That is great. Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
Doctor, as Rejuvenation, LipoLite of Naples. And all consultations are always free, and we appreciate a chance to see you.
Good. Good.
All Ron, right, I don't need to get any better looking, Ron. Tell your son, I don't need to get any better looking.
Well, you do have to get rid of that bipolar personality. Jesus. I mean, if you think you ever were good looking, I remember you had a little
hey,
DA.
Hey,
that,
hey, I come in second. I come in second at Chichester High School. Best looking. Of course, we only had two boys in our class.
Yeah, you know? I know. You both. I heard those stories too. But I saw that little curl in the front of your head.
I won the Tony Curtis lookalike contest.
Yeah.
At Bandstand.
Yeah. I didn't know you were Jewish.
Holy
all right,
God, you forgot.
Right.
I saw that booth in your book.
That booth in your book's at the Smithsonian now.
I knocked them dead at that Bandstand. I knocked those girls dead at Bandstand when I went up there.
I know. And then you served the 5
yep.
to 10. Yeah, but you had to serve 5 to 10 for knocking them dead. So,
how the hell we start talking about that? We're supposed to be talking about fighting. See what happens when this guy comes on? I think you ought to block the number, Frank.
Okay.
And then call me directly. Then we can have a good argument.
Look, I'm hot on this phone. Anyway.
All right. All right, Ronnie.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Ty.
All right.
See ya. Bye.
Hey, Chris, Dave Tiberi's got one of his boys You remember Frankie Philippone, the fighter from at Newport News? He's a policeman down in Newport News. He's fighting next Saturday up at Saratoga. He's fighting a guy by the name of Sean Miller. As far as I can see, Miller is a 13-3-1 with one knockout. Frankie's 16-4-1 with three knockouts. They're the headliners for a fight up there at Saratoga Springs.
Saratoga? What that must be during the racing festival. They wind up the racing season up there in August.
Right.
And that's a great – it's like a Kentucky Derby going up there. But they must be putting a fight show on because they have a big – it's a big vacation spot that time of the
uh-huh. –
you know, that time of the year. So that's probably why they're doing it because I've never heard of it. Is it going to be at one of the casinos, the Indian casinos, or where's it going to be, Frank?
No, it's going to be at the city center. That's why I was surprised
okay.
it wasn't going to be at one of the casinos because I guess this place sits more, but you probably would have gotten more money if you'd gone to the casino. But speaking of which, they had to cancel a couple of Peltz's fights down at the Revel because they're not sure they're going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get, I think, Bally's and somebody else to take the fight. He's got one the end of this month and two in September down there,
mm-hmm.
besides the one they did tonight up in Bethlehem, at the casino up in
mm-hmm.
Bethlehem.
Well, I'm glad Davey's getting around and, you know, promoting other than Wilmington. That's good.
Yeah.
He's got the opportunity. He's got the personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got a good, you know, he's got a colorful personality. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping he does well. He could. You know, if Peltz could put them on, so could Dave. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know. So we'll see what happens. That's good
well,
to know. I haven't talked to Dave for a while.
Peltz and Dubin have now joined together to co-promote fights. I guess they were tripping over each other in Atlantic City and up in Bethlehem. So now they've decided to co-promote things and I guess things are working a lot smoother for them. They're getting a lot more shows together and showcasing quite a few new guys, local guys. So, you know, they're also using Vineland. Is that Reno over Vineland?
Yeah.
For a fight.
You know what
I can't wait
for, Frank? I can't wait for Kathy Duva when she puts the fight on with her light heavyweight against Bernard Hopkins. I think that's going to be a great fight. There's a lot of ways that could go. You know what I mean? It's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad she's reached.
They tell me that's going to be probably right there in Atlantic City. So if that's the case, I'll make sure that you and the boys get a chance to get in there with our passes and see the fight.
Yeah,
so
that wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't mind going down there. That's close.
Yeah, and I know that you're a good friend of Hopkins, so that would be be something we could do.
Bernard, he forgot who I was. he wanted that space between his teeth fixed.
Uh-huh.
I told you that story. I said, how long are you going to fight? He said, a couple more years. That's 15 years ago. He still got the space. But he got a lot more money now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, he's made a lot of money, that guy. He's going to make more.
Oh, sure.
That's sure.
But if he, this may be the curtain call, though, don't you think? With this fight coming up? I mean, he's, what, 53 years old now?
You know, I don't know. He turned 50. I think he's – I don't know, Frank. I don't think he's that old. I think he might be 51. I don't know, Frank. I don't think he's 53.
I know he's in his you know, coming up against a guy who's just turned 30, well, I say 32, 33, is it? That's that in itself is a big thing. But, you know, you look at him, he looks as healthy as a 32-year-old.
Yeah, he probably looks as young as a guy 32.
And he's definitely a smart fighter. So, you know, that could go, like you say, it could go either way. But,
I don't know. I don't know. This might be the time when experience won't carry him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think youth and power is going to overcome the experience. I think so.
Right.
That's my good. Of course, you know, I've been wrong so many times.
Yeah.
I have to laugh. They asked Rocky Graziano when he was alive. They asked Jake LaMotta who he thought would win a fight, and he said, I don't know, I haven't talked to Rocky yet. He said, Rocky hasn't been right in 20 years. Sometimes I feel that way because I've been wrong about 80% of the time anymore. I don't know, you know, I don't know why, but it just seems like I always make the – seems like I always go with something that doesn't, you know.
Sure.
I thought Cotto – would get murdered by the middleweight, but I didn't realize the middleweight had lost so much when it, you know, the
right.
guy from Argentina.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, well, you know, you never know.
Sure.
But I'm going to pick the Russian light heavy for this one. I want to go out on a limb and pick him to win.
I don't think
probably
it's too
got some more
to go. I mean, that's what everybody is saying, that they're picking was it Khabib to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last week, I was saying he thought that that's the way it would go.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You know, many times we talk about Mayweather and about his ability to make money. Well, he's now got this Mayweather-Mayadonna fight. Is going to be presented in 570 theaters around the country, besides the pay-per-view, and it's supposed to draw the largest fight crowd in history.
Now, let me ask you a question: how much is he going to charge to go to the theater and see it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why does he think that? I mean, I don't know why. I mean, why the? I mean, if you could sit home. Without going through an old movie theater, you know, that used
right.
to be the way you had to go see a fight. But I can't imagine why, unless it's cheaper. If he makes it cheaper, maybe more people will go. I don't know. But what happens when somebody puts it on at their home? 5-10 guys could chip in, and it only cost them $8 or $10 a piece. You know.
Right.
But I imagine I don't know. I'd like to see the receipts of that fight.
Ooh. Yeah.
But no, but, I mean, the movie theater hasn't promoted fights since, I mean, I went to the theater, the last time I went is when Holyfield knocked out the guy that knocked Tyson out, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the last time I went. I haven't, from that time on, I went to pay-per-view or something, you know, after
right.
that. What was that guy's name? I can't even think of it.
I'm trying to think.
Come on. The big guy that knocked Tyson out. Oh, his father fought in the 50s. Father was a good middleweight. But anyway, it'd be interesting to see. Why can't I think of that guy's name, Frank? It's like thinking about a movie star. the big guy, what was his name?
I'm blanking myself, Chris. I'm just trying to pick up.
Yeah, we all went blank.
Yeah. Well, Z.
How about
Z,
you guys? Come on, come up with a name.
Yeah, Z had to get off. Z suffers from migraines, and he had one just before we got on, and he stayed on as long as he could. So he's now off, and Ty's not here tonight.
Oh. Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I'm trying. What I.
Yeah. Well.
I went on the website that they quoted for the program, the Mayweather Mayadonna thing, and it looks like it's $22.50 a seat to go to the theater.
Yeah, that
doesn't make sense.
I don't think that allows more people to see the fight. You know what I'm getting at? I mean, how many people can you reach?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but they know better. They you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
you know, can you imagine? I mean, when Holyfield won the title, heavyweight title, that fight grossed $74 million worldwide. That was a huge. This one could top that, I guess.
Sure.
Worldwide, that's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
So Lou Duva got up. He got up and said, you know, he was at the they were honoring old Italian athletes and guys in Philly, and he got up and gave a breakdown on the fight, how much money they grossed. Gigantic amount of money. Holy God, at the time, that was number one. Now, he's got to top that. I guess he could do it, you know.
Yeah.
I guess he could do it. Be interesting to see. I think if Keith would hang in there and maybe fight Bradley, which I think he would beat easily, the next fight should be Keith and Mayweather.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be a great fight and a giant moneymaker.
Sure.
Especially if Keith was impressive knocking Bradley out,
sure.
If they could ever make that match, you know?
Uh-huh.
If Mayweather was smart, he wouldn't fight Keith. I'd have to pick Keith in that one. I would right now pick Keith against him.
Uh-huh.
Even though he thinks Mayweather would give him trouble, I'd have to pick Keith.
Sure.
I think he'd go to the body early, and he's younger, stronger, and I think he'd expose Mayweather's age.
Right.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just about up out of time here, Chris. I just want to thank you for coming on.
All right, Frank.
What a terrific job, as always. I appreciate all the help you give us.
Okay, Frank.
We'll talk to you next week.
You know, you got to block Ronnie's number next time. He's starting to come on with nothing we could use. Tell him we're going to listen to his show, but you know that'll be it. All right, Ron. All right, Frank. See you
on Thursday and talk boxing.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, take care. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, please just say thank you. It means a world of good to all the guys and the girls. Remember that freedom's not free, and they put their life on the line each and every day for us, whether it's foreign or domestic. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Culcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, New Castle County Police, Patrolman Onofre Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, PAPD. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier. Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your face, and the sunshine softly on your face, and the winds rains fall softly on your field. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama Shemahezahilma Sona shene vorat fed Hakuig again ma'ilma
Shemalek ma'ilama
All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Good night, Bob. We love you. We miss you.